Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And it's a blessing to be here in the Higher Hat training. And what I want to share with all of you is a short message called Let No One Take Your Crown. Let No One Take Your Crown. And I'll go over briefly, you know, about what a crown is, and also what it means to us now as we're disciples training to become priests and kings. And but with understanding, you know, our background, like who we were and what we're going to become, I think it's good to, you know, just to briefly go over what a disciple is, which is what we're learning. But I always think of that scripture that the Apostle Paul says, you know, I want to remind you and remind you and remind you. So a lot of things in the scriptures are repetitive, you know, there's a thing of habits. It's something that we do not just now on Shabbat or not on the feast, but it's every day of our life. But really where we come from, we have to know it because we have to know what Yahweh did in our life to bring us from darkness to life. But in 2 Peter, I'm going to start in 2 Peter chapter 1, which is a scripture that we all know. And it shows where we come from. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 and verse 3, it says, "Grace to you and peace be multiplied by a full knowledge of Yahweh and of Yeshua, our Master, who has given us all things that pertain to the power of Elohim, for the life and worship of Elohim through the full knowledge of the one calling us through glory and virtue." Now read verse 4. "By which means he has given to us the very great and precious promises, so that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature." The divine nature is speaking about the resurrection, escaping from the corruption which is in the world by lust. So this is where we all come from. We come from the corruption which is in the world by lust. And that's what brings death. Sins brings death. And one more scripture with that is Ephesians 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 2 to 4. It says, "In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the will of the ruler of authority of the air, the spirit which is active in the sons of disobedience, in those very deeds in which we also were corrupted from the very beginning through the lust of our flesh, doing the things will of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But Elohim, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us." So that's our past, and this is now. Once we come into faith, we have a new life, we have a new beginning, we have a new opportunity. And one more scripture, because we were talking about this during the class. And who is the good news for? Who is the message of the good news? It's for all of us. It's for all of us in Luke chapter 4. You know that scripture? But go over it briefly again. Very brief. It says, Luke 4:18. It says, "The Spirit of Yahweh is upon me. And because of this, he has anointed me to declare the good news to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach release to the captives and sight to the blind and to free those who are oppressed with forgiveness. To forgive those who are oppressed with forgiveness. Releasing of the captives." So we were captivated by our former way of life. But now we know what our past is, so we have to know what our future is. What makes a disciple? We know what makes a disciple. It's faith and repentance, these two basic requirements. We believe Yeshua rose from the dead on the third day, and that's why we decide, okay, well, I need to do something. I am convicted of breaking the Ten Commandments. So what is the next thing we do? We look for an ordained elder to be immersed. We know that. But once we do those steps, what makes a disciple, or what helps us grow to be a disciple? I'm going to read in John, the Gospel of John, or the Good News of John, chapter 14. Verse 23 and 24. Yeshua answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father shall live in him, and we will come to him and will make a dwelling place with him. And the one who does not love me does not keep my words. And the words which you hear is not mine, but of the Father who sent me." So a disciple is somebody that does the word of Yeshua. So we know we come through baptism, faith, repentance, and now we have to continue to do his work and to do his word also. So we have to know that being a disciple is going to be a road. And we have to know that once we're in this congregation, really we become part of the remnant of Yeshua. We become part of the history of this congregation, and we're joining a persecuted congregation. We have to have that mindset, which we're learning, but it's not something that we're going to learn in a day. And we know it through history that the congregation is being persecuted. I'm going to read in John 16:33. It's a very famous scripture, but I think that's what has set the course for the believers, but for a reason. John 16:33 says, "I have spoken these things to you, that in me you may have peace, you may have shalom. In the world there will be afflictions to you, but take courage, I have conquered the world." So Yeshua is the victor, he is the captain of our salvation, and he has conquered the world. But how we have shalom is really believing it, believing that he has conquered it, and only in him we can have shalom. And this is what the congregation preached throughout the ages. And Paul believed it, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and also Jacob. I'm going to read briefly Paul in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 4, it says, "But in all things let us show ourselves as servants of Elohim, in much patience, in afflictions, in emergencies, in difficulties." I'm going to jump to verse 7. "By the word of truth, in the power of Elohim, through the weapons of righteousness on the right hand and on the left." So we know that righteousness can only come through Yeshua. It's not our own righteousness. But as believers, this is a mindset that we're joining a persecuted congregation, and we know that only through affliction is how we're going to be purified and made better disciples and better believers to be able to bear fruit. So there's three things that we fight daily, we have learned, which is, what do we fight daily? As believers who have come from a corrupted world and a world of sin and misery, pain, death, and many other things. We're still fighting the world in many ways. We still fight Satan, and we still are fighting ourselves. So there's the saying, I saw the enemy in the mirror, and the enemy was me. So that's something that we have to keep in mind, and we have to recognize that is really, that is the main thing that puts a stumbling block in our world, in our walk with Yeshua, in our walk as believers. It's really, a lot of the times, it's not even other people, or it's not just the circumstances. A lot of the times, it's ourselves, it's the things that are ingrained in our mind and in our thoughts. But it does say, take courage, I have conquered the world. And Yeshua is going to help us. But having this in mind, once we're in faith, once we're in the covenant, once we have Yahweh Spirit, we know our names are written in the Book of Life. And the same scriptures tell us that we have a crown. And what is a crown? In the Greek, the word is stephanos. It's a chaplet, which is as a badge of royalty, a prize in the public games, or a symbol of honor. In Hebrew, the word is neser, but it's, the root there is very interesting because it comes from something set apart, a crown. But neser comes from nasar, which means to abstain, divine worship, or dedicate. So the meaning in Hebrew is pretty interesting, which the meaning of crown, it's something that is set apart for service towards Yahweh. I'm going to read Jacob, because the message is called, Let No One Take Your Crown. Jacob 1:12. Jacob chapter 1, verse 12, it says, Blessed is the man who endures temptation, because having been approved, he will receive the crown of life which Yahweh promised to the ones loving him. So there is a promise there. There is a crown of life which Yahweh promised to the ones loving him. 1 Corinthians 9, we know these scriptures pretty well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, it says, And every man who battles in the contest frees his mind from everything else, and yet they run to win a crown that is perishable, but we to win one that is everlasting. So there is a crown of life, there is a crown that is everlasting. 2 Timothy 4, read there briefly, 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. He says, For the rest, the crown of righteousness is laid up for me, which our Master, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not only so, not only to me, but also to all those who love his appearance. So there is a crown of righteousness, life, everlasting righteousness, and maybe one or two more. 1 Peter chapter 5, it keeps talking about this crown that we're all striving and trying to qualify for it. 1 Peter 5, verse 4, it says, And at the appearing of the chief shepherd, you will receive the never-fading crown of glory. So there's crown of life, crown of righteousness, crown of glory. And one more in Revelations 3:11, and this is from Yeshua, Yeshua's revelations to John. This is to the congregation of Philadelphia. It says, Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold what you have, that no one take your crown. Hold what you have, that no one take your crown. And who's trying to take our crown? We're saying that we fight the world, Satan, and ourselves. And in the world, there's a much falsehood out there. There's a lot of false teachers, false pastors, false elders, and false people, and all kinds of life. I'm going to read in Ephesians 5 and 6, because I think this is something that, as believers, we come across one way or the other. Ephesians 5, 6, it says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for through these things the wrath of Yahweh comes on the sons of disobedience. Then do not be partakers with them. For you then were darkness, but we now light in the Master. Walk as children of light." So this is one of the instructions in the epistles. Walk as children of light. Let no one deceive you. Yeshua gave us the truth. Yeshua gave us the doctrine through the apostles, the 12 apostles, then the remnant, and then by miracle, we still have it today. And that is a huge miracle. And I think it is a miracle that we have it, because if we didn't have that, if we didn't have believers practicing these things and going through much affliction and suffering, if they were not persecuted to keep this, we wouldn't have the truth today. So there's always been a light in the congregation through Yahweh's Spirit in His servant. I'm going to read in John, the good news of John. John 21, verse 15, starting with verse 15, it says, "Then when they denied Yeshua, when they dined, Yeshua said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than those?' He said to him, 'Yes, Master, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' Again he said to him, secondly, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Master, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' Thirdly, he said to him, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved that he said to him a third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Master, you perceive all things. You know that I love you.' Yeshua said to him, 'Feed my ewes.'" So I'm reading from the Aramaic, meaning, "Feed my lambs," we know is the males. "Feed my sheep," feed my lambs are the children, the little ones, the young ones. "Feed my sheep," is the males. "Feed my ewes," are the ladies, the women. And really, this is what the apostles did, you know. And in the, this is also what Peter did. Peter gave instructions to husbands, to the wives, what the husband ought to do, love their wives. The wives submit to the husband, and children, obey your parents, which is the first promise, which is the first commandment with promise. But that's for all of us, and because we are from the flock, we are sheep. And that's what gives us, I feel a lot of shalom in one way, because when there's elders, when there's leaders in the congregation, that should only bring shalom. That should bring peace in your life. And we have it, praise Yahweh. And I'm going to read in Ephesians 6. Not in Ephesians, I'm sorry. I'm going to read in John, the epistles of John. Because this is what also the writer of John did. and this is an encouragement for all of us. He says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Little children, I write to you because you have been forgiven your sins through his name, through the name of Yeshua." So when you're baptized in the name of Yahweh and Yeshua. "Fathers, I write to you because you have known him from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one." See, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. The scripture says, "Let no one despise your youth." It's a scripture from Paul to Timothy. "I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. Fathers, I have written to you because you have known him from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of Elohim abides in you, and you have overcome the evil." So, you remember the scripture we read in John? "If my words remain in you." And we praise Yahweh for his security. And people, sometimes somebody came with this term, "Do you want to have 20/20 vision?" Because we all want to have a better vision. I forgot my glasses right now. I'm having a little hard time, but praise Yahweh, I can read these, and still. But 20/20 vision is what we need. In Ezekiel 20:20, I'll just read that briefly, because it talks about what we have to do as believers, as disciples. Ezekiel 20:20 is speaking about the Sabbath. "And guard my Sabbath to keep them holy, set apart. And they shall be a sign between me and you." We're speaking about signs during the week. "And they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am Yahweh your Elohim." That's why I say 20/20 vision, the Shabbat. And 2 Chronicles 20:20. I'm going to read there briefly. 2 Chronicles 20:20. So we're speaking about 20/20 vision, spiritual vision. And this is from King Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 20:20. "And they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And they went out. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Trust in Yahweh. Trust in Yahweh. Stand firm. Trust in his prophets and prosper.'" So this is 20/20 vision. Trust in Yahweh. Trust in his prophets and prosper. So this is a message to everyone, to the lambs, the sheep, and the youth, the whole house of Israel. The whole house of Israel. So we need judicial order. We need to trust what Yahweh has placed. There's another instruction there for the sheep, for the males, that gives you 20/20 vision. It's in Hebrews, because I believe this is what helps us. It's going to help us try to protect that salvation that Yahweh has given us. And we can't let no one take our crown, the one Yeshua has for us. He says, "Listen to your spiritual leaders and submit to them, for they watch for your souls." Who are the spiritual leaders? There is Yeshua, is the first one, Yahweh, but there's pastors, there are shepherds, evangelists, teachers, we have the prophets also, which is the scriptures. So they watch for our souls. "Listen to your spiritual leaders and submit to them, for they watch for your souls, giving an account, that they may do this with joy and not with grieving, for this would be unprofitable for you." So this is an instruction that the leadership that Yahweh has put, we listen. we do Shema. Shema is listen and obey. We're obeying on behalf of our faith and trust and believe in Yahweh. That's why we're doing it. And that's going to allow us to be more secure in the long term and be more happy. It sounds simple, but really, it is simple. It's really not that difficult. It only becomes difficult when we become too smart and really not hearing what Yahweh has to say for us. In 1 Peter 5:5, just briefly, we're speaking about the sheep, the ewes, and the lambs. You don't have to go there, but it talks about well, I'll just read one verse. It says, little children, guard yourselves. Guard yourself from idols. So there's a lot of instructions for the youth, but really they're not just for the youth. They're for all of us. And as a child, I believe one of the things that kept me from going so far into the world is my grandmother's advice and the wisdom that she had. And so one thing I never forgot as a young little boy is like, Adrian, never forget the Psalms. Always read the Psalms. Always read the prophet. Read Proverbs. Read Psalms and Proverbs. Read it. Read it. And I believe that's what kept me from going so far. And I think many times in my life, Yahweh intervened just because of that. Just that simple instruction. But if you look at Proverbs, I'm not going to read so much there, but if just looking at chapter 1, the scripture says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask. So a lot of the times, that's what I do in my life. Yahweh, give me the wisdom, because I know my wisdom is not going to get me anywhere. But Proverbs 1:1 says, it's a proverb of Solomon, to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the word of understanding. Verse 5, the wise hear and increases learning, and understanding ones gets wise counsel, and the understanding ones gets wise counsel. So we need this all our life. Chapter 2, my son, if you will receive my words, and you shall protect my commandments with you, so that you attend to wisdom, you shall extend your heart to understanding. Verse 5, then you shall understand the fear of Yahweh and find knowledge of Elohim. Chapter 4, sons, hear the instructions of a father, pay attention to no understanding. For I give you good teaching, do not forsake my Torah. Last, chapter 5. My son, listen carefully to my wisdom. Stretch out your ear to my understanding, so that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. So all this is designed, this is part of judicial order, is designed to give us humility and trust in Yahweh so that we may prosper. And one last thing, briefly. This is from one of the lessons, and it's a responsibility for a disciple. It says, what responsibility do believers have toward the world? What is our responsibilities? Because we're disciples. Matthew 5:14 says, you're the light of the world. It is not possible to hide a city that is built on a mountain, nor do they light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but on the lampstand, and it shines for all those in the house. So let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and may glorify your Father in heaven. So our jobs as disciples is to grow in the Ruach HaKodesh, the the Holy Spirit, the nine fruits, have more love, have more patience, have more kindness. And a lot of the times, I mention this because we could have all the knowledge in the world, but there's a scripture that says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And there's a saying that says, through your actions and your words, they're so loud that I cannot understand what you're trying to say. So a lot of the times, it's really the love that we share, the patience, the kindness, and that's what really attracts people to get to know us better. But let no one take your crown. That's the message. Shalom.